Lord, it's good to be here this morning in this beautiful day. And we thank you that we can hear your word. And we pray that you'll be with us, Lord, and challenge us this morning as we meditate on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So far, we've read what Jesus and the disciples did. I could give you a test, but I won't. So let us recall what the disciples had experienced so far in their journey with Jesus. They had witnessed Jesus driving out evil spirits, Jesus giving the people authoritative teaching that amazed them, Jesus healing many people, Jesus healing a man with leprosy, Jesus healing a paralytic, Jesus using parables to teach. And we've heard the parables of the sower, a lamp on a stand, growing seed, and the mustard seed. But there was increasing opposition to his ministry, and it started with Jesus being challenged by the teachers of the law. But Jesus had called his disciples so that they too might be sent out to preach the good news and have authority to drive out demons. In other words, to become fishers of men. There was so much more that they needed to learn. So far they'd just been looking on while they saw Jesus teaching, healing. But that evening was a further step in their learning about Jesus and his power. So far the disciples had only travelled throughout Galilee. But that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to the region of the Gerasenes, where a large number of Gentiles lived." And according to Mark, without hesitation they got into their boat with Jesus and left the crowd behind. And we may wonder why Jesus wanted to take the disciples to the other side. Well, you just have to wait 2 weeks for Des to explain that to us. Or you can read ahead, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. I wonder if Jesus is calling you to go to the other side. Maybe the other side of the room to speak to someone you don't know. The other side of the fence to meet your neighbour. The other side of the street to help someone, or the other side of the town to encourage somebody. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." While Helen and I were living in Balaclava, we had a strong desire to go to the other side of Australia, around Coffs Harbour area, and see what life was like there. We heard the climate was beautiful, so we started packing boxes. However, God called us to go further than the other side of Australia. He called us to go to another country, Cambodia. Now, the disciples would have known very well that the Sea of Galilee was susceptible to sudden storms that could come up at any moment. And if such a storm arrived that evening, it would have been very dangerous. No doubt those of the disciples who were fishermen would have previously experienced storms. But Jesus called them to go with him to the other side. So they went with the one that they had promised to follow. Suddenly, to their horror, a furious squall came up and broke over the boat, so that the boat was nearly swamped. Have you ever been in such a precarious position? The sea and I don't get on very well together, but Helen is a good on the water. But so I could say, well, I've never been in danger in the sea, on the sea. The disciples couldn't believe their dilemma. But in the midst of their dilemma, Jesus was in the stern of the boat, their leader. And what was he doing? Sleeping on a cushion. So calm. The one who was the least experienced in a storm was so calm that he was sleeping. How could he be so calm? Did he not realize that his disciples, whom he had told to go over to the other side with them, were in great danger? Didn't he care that they might all drown? But Jesus was sleeping peacefully. The one who created the wind and the waves was sleeping peacefully. Have you ever found yourself in a position of great danger? Have you ever thought, does Jesus care? But Jesus was with his disciples in the midst of the storm, and he can be with us too as we go through that storm. Surely the disciples would have realized this, but had they ever been in a position of such danger when they were with Jesus? I don't think so. They were just going around the land and listening to Jesus and watching Jesus perform miracles. They had never been in great danger. For the disciples, this was the first time in their journey with Jesus that their lives had been threatened. Did Jesus want them to go through this experience to learn more about their master than just experiencing Jesus as a teacher and a healer? There were also other boats with them trying to keep up, wanting to follow Jesus. But we suspect that the occupants of these other boats were also terrified. But what did Jesus do? When they aroused him from his sleep, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Now, I don't know how loud he spoke, but to everyone's amazement, the wind died down and everything was completely still. Was Jesus exposing his disciples to this storm to increase their trust and faith in him? For they were certain to face difficult times ahead of them as they obeyed the call of Jesus to become fishers of men, as they went out to teach and to heal. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith after all you've seen me do and hear me speak? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" But the disciples became even more terrified, we read. And they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Why were they so terrified now that peace had come? Was it because they realized that there was more to Jesus and his mission to bring the good news to people than they had previously realized? They were now following a person who was not just a great teacher, an amazing teacher, a person who had the power to heal, even heal leprosy, but a person who had power over the winds and the waves. What else would Jesus want them to do with their lives? Where else would he lead them? Maybe they were afraid of what Jesus might lead them into and where Jesus would want them to go. But Jesus said, "Just have faith, don't be afraid." All they needed to do was to learn that Jesus was in the midst of them. And with that, there was nothing, nothing to fear. Jesus cares for us in ways that we may not expect. When difficult times come, we may get a fresh revelation of the extent to which Jesus cares for us. And we come to realize that Jesus is with us as we go through a storm, and all will be well. Maybe we can recall such times that we've gone through such difficulties, and then we've reflected and we've thought of all our blessings that God has given us, and we've realized, well, Jesus is in control. And Helen and I can recall an incident in Papua New Guinea. We look forward to a holiday in the beautiful city of Madang on the other side of the island from Leh. So we packed our bags, filled the car with fuel, and set out. However, things didn't turn out as well as we had anticipated. And I think of it now, and I think, well, we're in great danger. Firstly, while our daughter was driving at 100 kilometres an hour along the Highlands Highway, one of the tyres went, I guess the rubber unravelled as the steel cable, whatever. Anyway, an experienced driver as she was, she kept the car on the road, swerved a bit, but the car was on the road and we stopped. One less wheel to use, but not a major problem. We had a spare wheel. We pressed on towards the goal of our Madang holiday. As we went through the mountains and entered a village, a flat tyre. The tyre was deflated. We were deflated, for we had no other wheel that was suitable to put on our car, no other wheel at all. What a dilemma. We couldn't call the RAA. I prayed and looked, but the tyre after that earnest prayer was still flat. However, some of the friendly village people informed us that just around the corner was a Catholic mission. Maybe they would be an answer to prayer. We entered and enjoyed a good sleep there, a good meal, and they repaired the punctured tyre tube. So the next morning we went on our way with no spare wheel, just the four that were on the car. But it was only a short distance on, another puncture. Fortunately, a car from the Catholic mission came along and took Helen and our two daughters to Madang while I waited for them to return sometime later, bringing back two new tyres ready to fix the car. So I waited patiently. I think our dog was with us and we were enjoying the cool mountain air. Then a 25-seater bus came along and the anxious local driver said, "Get out of here. There are rascals around." And by rascals, that refers to robbers and murderers that were in the hills. "But how could I?" I replied. So he lent me one of his spare wheels. The wheel fitted but was somewhat bigger than the other three. So I put the Mitsubishi L300 into four-wheel drive and limped into Madang. But how would I meet up with Helen and the girls? No mobile phone in those days. But unexpectedly we met and were able to enjoy our days in Madang, swimming, snorkeling and appreciating God's creation. And we were able to praise God for the help that he gave us through the people that we met on the way. What a blessing that was. Dangerous times that we're in, but we learnt that we could trust God. Sometimes we may think of situations that are hopeless and beyond us, beyond what we could do. But remember that Jesus can calm the storm and bring peace into difficult situations. And he invites us to follow him and learn from him as we go through life. Are we trusting him? Are we trusting him completely, whatever life throws at us? That evening on the lake in the midst of the storm, the disciples came to the comforting realization that Jesus was there with them in the storm and he could calm the wind and the waves. But a greater fear came upon them. Where was their master going to lead them in the coming days? What troubles would they encounter? Could they trust Jesus to deliver them? This they had to learn each day. And as we read through Mark's gospel, we learn of what happened to Jesus and the disciples. A few years ago, when I was a teenager, I watched a film about a singer who gave up a promising career in music to devote his life to singing for the Lord. I was moved by his story and often sing in my mind the hymn that was featured in that film, and the hymn was "I Am His to Command." And I wish I could sing these words to you, but I can't sing, so I'll just read them to you. If the dreams that I dream would come true, if the schemes that I scheme I could do, then it seems there would be contentment for me. But I know that He knows what's best for me. I am His to command when He needs me. I will cling to His hand when He leads me. Whatever befalls, I will give Him my all. I will answer His call when He needs me. Though dark be the way I may travel, my tangles I know He will unravel. So day after day, as I go on my way, I am His, I am His to command. And are we His to command? The disciples said to Jesus, "We will follow You. Come, let us follow the One who calms the storm in our lives." Let us pray. Father, some of us might be going through storms in our life this morning, going through difficult times, going through times of worry and despair. But we thank You, Lord, for the great hope that we have in You, and we put our trust in You, and we ask that You will lead us and guide us, maybe to the other side of wherever, but lead us, Lord. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.